Welcome to River of Hope this morning. It's been a beautiful weekend so far. I know it's been a little rainy, but I don't know. Do we even need that right now? It's still beautiful. It is. It really is. Anyway, I am glad to be back. I know we Amanda and myself took last weekend off, and we want to thank Greg for stepping in and filling the pulpit. We really appreciate you being willing to do that. And then we had two-thirds of our worship team from Abbotsford come up and help us out. Those guys are great. That was Jacob and Andrea Hazard. They are some of our closest friends from the Abbotsford Northridge Church. That family is very dear to us. So for them to be willing to come up here and help lead you guys in worship while we're gone is just awesome. And yes, as always. So everybody that filled in last week, thank you. I know people were plopped into places that aren't normally there, and from what I understand, it went well. So thank you to everyone who was able to be here and make that time for Amanda and myself to be able to go away for a weekend. And we actually went away, and we're celebrating our anniversary a few weeks late, but it's been 13 years, and I won't add the weeks because I don't know them. I don't pay that close of attention. I know there's people that can probably tell you to the day how long they've been married, and I tell you what, I can't do that, and I don't need to. Secretly in my basement, there's etches. No, I'm kidding. I'm seriously kidding. Okay. This morning, we're going to have, Amanda's going to come up and help us with announcements as we prepare for our tithes and offer. I want to give one quick update before she comes. Something really cool is happening this afternoon. Actually, two things really cool. She's probably going to announce this too, but we're having a baby shower following service. I'll let her do the details on that. But even in the midst of that, that classic car that's sitting out there has been spoken for and is supposed to be picked up this afternoon. And when that happens, that means we will be at about 60 to 65% funded for our sign, and our board has said, go for it. So as soon as that money is in hand, we're going to make the phone call tomorrow, and if we can get a hold of Mike, I can't even remember the name of the sign company. I'm drawing a blank right now. Pro Design? It's on a piece of paper back there. Yeah, either way, the guy's name is Mike, and he's designed the sign for us, and we're going to sign on the dotted line and cut that check and get that project underway. And I want to thank all of you guys for your generosity, for your encouragement, for your faith in us and the work that we do here, really to push that through. Because ultimately, we wouldn't be anywhere near being in a position to do that without your generosity and your giving. So we have been encouraged by our board and ultimately by our advisory team that said, you know what, if your advisory team is comfortable with it, do it. And I can tell you without a doubt that every one of these guys on the advisory team is on board and they want to move forward just like the rest of us. And that is awesome news. That has been years in coming, and I'm not even joking at all on that. It's years in coming for that project to happen. Amanda, will you come up and prepare for announcements? I will pray over our offering this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this beautiful day you've blessed us with. I thank you that we can have just another day to reflect in the beauty of your creation. As we can look outside and just see the magnificence of your handiwork. Lord, even as we look in the mirror, we can see that you have created something beautiful in each and every one of us. And we thank you, God. God, we thank you that you have blessed each and every one of us with gifts and talents and skills that you allow us to use to provide for our families. And Lord God, we thank you for that provision. We give back to you from what you have blessed us with. We ask, Lord God, that you would receive this offering, that you would bless it and multiply it for your kingdom's work. We thank you, Jesus. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Good morning. Good morning. Am I on? Okay. I just want to give a shout out, you know, to everybody here that helps make this service happen each and every Sunday. There's a lot of people that work behind the scenes that we don't see everything that they do. And I was just reminded this morning as I asked somebody to do something this morning for me, and they said, Amanda, I do that every week. And I think back to how far we have come as a church, that we've grown so many leaders that just know what to do. And to me, that is an awesome thing, because I know that God's going to grow this church, and he's laying the foundation, and he's bringing up leaders, and they're just committed. So thank you for everything that you guys do every week to make everything go so smoothly. So today we have a baby shower for Clint and Sarah. So we're excited about that. So we just want, if you can stay today, we'd love you to stay. Jackie and Lacey have headed this whole thing up, and so I'm excited to see what you guys have planned. It's kind of nice. I get to just come in.
Guys, that includes us.
Yes, this is a couple shower.
A couple shower. I've never been to one of these, so I'm a little hesitant myself, but I guess I have to
It'll
come.
Be fun. It'll be fun. Sorry, I didn't get much time to prepare here this morning for this. Okay, quick change for anybody that goes to the young adult group on Tuesday night. Alexa let me know that this Tuesday night they are changing location. They're going to be at the Baptist Church doing a movie night because the youth center is under construction. So, movie night, Baptist Church, 7 p.m. If you are a young adult or feel like a young adult, you are invited. Stepping into leadership, I'm going to have Jackie come up and do a quick announcement on that.
So stepping into leadership is for women, and it's October 6th through the 8th in Ladysmith. So we really have a great opportunity to participate. Because it is so close, we're going to try to organize groups that if you can't go the full 3 days, you could come like Thursday night, you could come Friday, or if you can only make it for Saturday, we're trying to help anybody get there, because it only takes about an hour and a half maybe to get there to Ladysmith. So just let me know, sign up on the sign-up sheet in the back, and we'll help coordinate rides and lodging based off of your availability. So I hope you don't want to miss it, because it is going to be awesome. There's a lot of warfare going on in preparation for the SIL, and I think that it's really going to bless the community. And when you hear Pastor Pamela Parks, or Johnson, sorry, speak about Ladysmith and how we need to help breathe life into the town, into the community, because it is a dying community and in a lot of need. And the title of SIL is Breathe. So we're going to try to help restore some things. So I hope you can come.
Ezekiel, yep, that's a theme verse for it. So yeah, it's going to be good. You know, it's interesting how you go through life and you make your plans and then God changes your plan. Because when I started nursing school, I said, okay, God, I'm taking 2 years off from speaking. God has a sense of humor. And I was asked to speak at this event in October, and I said, let me pray about it. And I knew she wasn't going to give up on me, because God had showed her I was supposed to speak at it. But I just felt like challenged that God's like, Amanda, if you just obey me and step out, you're not even going to have to think about the message. I'm going to give it to you. And so so I said, yes, I'll do it. So I'll be speaking Saturday morning, and I'm going to be doing a message called Following Your Call and talking about your unique call. So I hope many, many ladies are able to join us. Starting in September, we have on Wednesday night, so this is not next week, but the next week already, we're going to be here the first 3 Wednesdays doing some projects here at the church to get a few things done that have just been kind of sitting waiting for some attention. And so I'm going to be having Pastor Jesse, he's going to organize all that and figure out groups and group teams and leads for each project. But if you are able to help, the more people we have, the faster we can be. We have a lot of goals. Maybe that's something you want to share of different things we want to get done here this fall just to kind of get things looking even better in here. So, and then the last Wednesday of September, we're kicking off our life groups, and Travis and Lynette are going to be heading that up starting at 6:30. So just plan starting September, Wednesday nights, there's going to be something here every Wednesday night from 6:30 to 8. And I am really excited about the study that Travis and Lynette are going to do. So I hope that you guys can plan to be here or come when you can. I think it's totally okay if they have to miss some weeks, right? It's not like they're going to feel lost in it if they miss. Yeah. But we've kind of talked with them. We know what study it is, and it's going to be good. It's going to take us right up to Christmas, basically. So that's Wednesday nights here. We do have our, cards out on the welcome table, and I believe it is the Connect card. See, I'm still getting used to these new cards too. If you turn it around, it says Life Groups. And that's how we want you guys to register for, hey, I'm planning to do the Wednesday night life group here this fall, is go out to the welcome table, grab the Connect card, fill it out. And then Sandy has made a really cool drop box for our welcome table to put the cards in. And then that's how we're going to keep track of everything. So if you need to communicate and you're just like, hey, I can't get to talk with Pastor Jesse and Amanda on a Sunday, but I need to communicate a prayer, or I need to, get registered for something with the cards, you just drop it in there and we'll be checking the box. The other thing in September is we have our Hope 101 class that's going to be on Saturday, September 10th, and we are doing that actually in the afternoon. We remembered we have Zach's football game that morning, so we're doing a 2 to 5 p.m. that day, and there's going to be some light refreshments, and we want to kind of get an idea of how many people are planning to come. And the purpose of this is you find out what we're about and what we believe, and it also will give you the opportunity to become a member of River of Hope. And that's something that we're working towards a goal, is to get members here so we can eventually become our own Class A church and have our own operating board. So we need a certain number of people committed to be able to do that. So register for that by filling out the card called, it says Grow on the front of it, out on the welcome table. Just stick that in the box too. I think Sandy has calendars too. I know we don't have bulletins, but if you're like, I need to have something in writing, if that's you, calendars will be in on the welcome table too that you can take. They're there? Okay. So it'll give you the lowdown for everything that's going on. You can put it on your fridge and know what's going on at church. And then I'm going to let Pastor Jesse talk about men's conference.
All right, guys. I want to preface men's conference with one thing. I went to our district has an annual golf outing every year called the Pastor's Masters. And this is the first year I've had the time and the schedule and the availability to go. And there, they do all these prizes, dual cool door prizes, raffle prizes, stuff like that. And you know what? I was praying before I was getting there, Lord, just help me to find something to help with ministry or for our family to enjoy some time together, things along those lines. And as I'm going through the raffle boxes, I'm thinking, you know, okay, I could use this for ministry. That would really help us out. Or I could, you know, Amanda and I could have a night out on the town doing this, or the family would really enjoy this. And that's how I divvied up my raffle tickets. So that's my mentality for this one. Anyway, at the end of this deal, I ended up winning a raffle prize with 4 men's conference registrations. So I have 4 people, 3 right now. I have 1 spoken for, but I have 3 more men's conference registrations that if you, for any reason, cannot go because of funding, I've got you covered. Okay, so then the only money you would need is maybe to pitch in for a little bit of gas, and then I think we might pull a little food stop on the way home again. We'll see if we can talk each other into doing that or not. That's it, guys. So like $20 would cover your weekend. It's going to be a good time. It's going to be a good time. If you want one of those registrations, if you're able to cover your own, that's great. That's perfect. If you can, if possible, get your money in today. We already passed the basket. I should have said this earlier. turn that in to myself or in the back in the kitchen. They do their counting after service. You can give a check or something like that. I am covering anything over $70 for your expenses because of the difference from what was advertised to what the cost might be now from registration. So if you can do $70, or if you need help with that, let me know, and we will get a group going down there. I need to get registered as soon as possible. I've heard that they've already half filled. Last year they had an influx of 300 registrations in the last 2 weeks, and if that happens, they're over capacity. There's only 500, capacity is 500, so they're half full as of a week ago. So I need to know who can go, and we need to get that registration in. Men's conference, really quickly, is it up there? It is. Activities, football, archery, lumberjack competition, a mechanical bull. If you have a motorcycle, you could ride it down and go for a motorcycle tour. Segways and bubble ball. That's kind of pretty awesome, in my opinion. We are going to be able to get the group rate of $70 if I register by the end of this week. So that's really what we're shooting for. If you have to figure out your schedule, things like that, do it. Make it happen. This is an event you don't want to miss, and it's once a year. So it's always right around this same weekend every year. So if you can, plan for it. That's all I got right now for announcements, guys. We're going to jump into a message. I got to say one thing. Amanda and I had last weekend off, and it was really amazing how just taking a little bit of a break and being able to just kind of disconnect from ministry and from the chaos of life, God begins to kind of breathe new life, refresh, I should say. And we both, I believe, experienced that last weekend. And I was driving down Highway 51, headed towards, I think it was just north of Stevens Point. You guys should probably know this route. There's that big log cabin on the side it's an office show home for a log cabin builder. And for some reason, I drove past that as I was driving. I distinctly recall going, you know, that would make a really awesome kid's wing. He's laughing. That's awesome. I had the same thought, actually. But I don't know why. Because I wasn't thinking ministry. I wasn't thinking kids. I wasn't thinking, what do we need to do next in ministry? But God said, hey, look. And it caught my attention. I want you guys to know that there are big dreams here. And I'm not saying we're building a log cabin in our backyard, but I'm not saying it's out of the question either. It's kind of a blanket statement. It could happen, it might not. But I am saying that God is opening our eyes to show us possibilities and give us bigger dreams than what we can hope and plan for. And I could tell you this right now, that kid's room is our biggest need. You could probably go back there now and they're probably packed in there like little sardines. But that kid's room is what's going to slow us down. So that's on our heart. That's in our minds. It's something we need to see happening. And that's going to be on the topic of a lot of discussions moving forward. Anyway, it's abnormal for me to go through a week and all of a sudden in the middle of the week go, you know what? I think we need to be teaching on this week. It's kind of abnormal. Usually that's a Friday night, Saturday night thing. But that's what God did this week. He just gave me this feeling of, hey, you know what? Let's dive into James this week. And so that's what we're going to do. I'm using some help from a pastor by the name of Greg Ebby. I'm not sure how to say that. But we're going to be reading out of 1 Peter and James this morning. I'm going to start off with 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16. This message is titled, The Great Escape. The Great Escape. 1 Peter 2, verse 16 reads, live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Live as servants of God. Temptation is a thread that joins us all together as human beings. That's not something that's unique to myself or unique to you. It's something that is universal to all of us, temptation. And once that's understood, it's a lot easier to begin to understand the benefits of salvation and living your life for Christ. But temptation truly levels the playing field for all of us. We're all on the same page. I know I've preached this time and time again, that there is no difference from myself to any one of us in this room, to any single person in this county, in this state, in this nation, in this world. We're all on a level playing field. We are all susceptible to the attraction of temptation. And we can all be equally devastated when we give in. Some of the biggest battles that you and I will deal with in our life involve overcoming temptation. I think this is something that is ringing true with each and every one of us. The best policy when you give in to temptation and sin is to quickly repent and admit you're wrong and set a new course of action. Sometimes that's one of the growing pains of faith is when we do fail. Oftentimes we'll stumble right there. We get caught up on the fact that we failed, and sometimes we'll revert back and say, you know what, I failed, I can't do this. And other times we'll go, Lord, I failed, save me, help me. The latter is what we need to do. We need to turn back to Christ and turn back and say, God, I failed, I blew it. I need you to restore me. The best policy when you give in to temptation and sin is to quickly repent and admit you're wrong. I'm going to do a little side note to this text. Don't make that a repeated habit. When you repeatedly fail in the same area and then quickly repent and do it again and again, that's kind of abusing the system. That's really not what's intended to be. As we just read in 1 Peter 2:16, live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. That's what they're saying. Don't let your freedom in Christ allow you to operate in sin and then just repent and do it again. That's not what this is about. The wrong approach to failure is demonstrated by a little boy who was caught eating cookies out of the cookie jar after having been told he could not have any. His response to his mom was, I really wasn't going to eat any, Mom. I just climbed up to smell the cookies. But you didn't say I couldn't smell them. And while smelling them, somehow my teeth got caught on several of them and the cookies wouldn't fall off. I can see different children in our congregation that might come from, and I'm glad they're out there right now because I guarantee we would hear that. James chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. Because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Verse 13, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he's dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. That's one of our main texts this morning. Reading also in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, listen to this. When you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. You know, once you've heard that, once you begin to understand that scripture right there, that there is no temptation that God does not give you a way out of, pretty soon you begin to recognize that way out, and now you have a decision to make. Because now it's a battle between your temptation and you giving in, or you actually taking the way out that God has given you. And that can be a very tough battle. We all face temptation, but God has promised that regardless of what the temptation may be that we face, he will make a way of escape. Temptation does not have to destroy us. We do not have to fall into the trap of sin. God has given us an escape from temptation. James shows us in the text that temptation often begins with point number one, external trials. External trials often can bring temptation into our lives. In James 1:12, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. James is telling us to persevere. He's telling us to remain steady. The phrase translated perseveres under trial in the NIV can also be translated enduring temptation, which is how the King James Version states it. Trials in verse 12 is the same Greek word, perasmos, that is translated as tempted in verse 13. Literally, these trials or temptations can be thought of as tests, as a test. God uses trials and temptations as a test to prove our character. And that's, I don't know how true that is to you, but I know for me that speaks very loudly. The temptations that I've seen in my own life, whether fallen into or walked away from, really do define our character. It's another illustration this morning. When the Union Pacific Railroad was under construction, an elaborate trestle bridge was built over a large canyon along the route connecting St. Louis and California. Before opening it to traffic, the bridge was put to a test. A train was loaded with extra cars and equipment to double its normal payload. Then it was driven out into the middle of the bridge and parked there for a whole day. One worker complained, "Are you trying to break this bridge?" "No," said the engineer. "I'm trying to prove that the bridge is unbreakable." Does that give you a kind of a picture to look at when we're talking about temptation? Trying to prove that the bridge is unbreakable. Well, God uses external trials for the express purpose of building our faith and character. He never tempts us to sin. God himself does not tempt us to sin. If you're familiar with the book of Job, God allowed such external trials to prove Job's commitment and faithfulness. But God himself did not tempt or harm Job. God allowed Job to be tempted by Satan. But these were external temptations. There's something I want you to pay attention to as we go through this text this morning. You're going to hear about external temptations. That's temptations coming from something other than your own person, other than from your own spirit. That's an external temptation. These temptations that were coming upon Job were external temptations, meaning they were not coming from within Job's heart, but they were coming from Satan's schemes. Job was tempted to give up and to not trust God. To quote from Job, to curse God and die. But God knew the condition of Job's heart, and that in all of his trials, Job did not sin against God. When external trials bring temptation, we are to remain steady and to endure. We are to remain steady and to endure. These kind of temptations or trials are to prove our character, not destroy it. These kind of trials are to prove our character, not to destroy it. When we persevere through the external trials of life, we receive a reward. In James, continuing in chapter 1, verse 12, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. That he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. External trials bring the rewards and satisfaction that comes from victory over those trials. There is pride and satisfaction when we can stand back and look at something that we just walked through and know that we walked away from temptation, not giving into it. There is pride in that. It's amazing, and I'm sure many of you have experienced it, knowing that you just escaped something that could have been very detrimental to your own life. Sometimes quite literally. And the rewards of resisting temptations include the freedom from the many consequences of our own sin. See, while God will forgive our sin, listen to this, while God will forgive our sin, we still have to live with the consequences of our sin. A lot of our culture these days get hung up on the idea that God punishes for sin, or that God is that God hates sin. They don't understand how a loving God can hate something they do. They equate that hate with for them and not for what they do. What we don't understand oftentimes is that as we are going our own way, as we are living out our own life, how we plan instead of how God plans, and we're living out in sin, we are doing detriment to ourselves because we're living outside of God's will. And while God will forgive us, the consequences that we bring upon ourselves are still ours to bear. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 through 8. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Verse 8, the one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. That is an encouraging passage of Scripture. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. The reward of a disciplined life are many. To those who overcome the external temptations that we've talked about, God promises the crown of life. The crown of life. This is the greatest reward for those who don't yield to such external temptations. That's a reward that does not end. Perseverance has eternal rewards and satisfaction. The second point this morning, go back to my notes for a second. James shows us that temptation often begins through, point number one was through external trials, and point number two is through enticing temptation. Not all temptation comes from external sources. Some come from our heart. That's the truth. James chapter 1, 13 through 15, if you could put that on the screen, please. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. If you could bring up 1 Corinthians 10:13 also, please. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. When it comes to temptation, it is important to recognize the source. It is important to recognize the source. The greatest struggles against temptation does not come from external sources as much as it does from an internal source. Even Satan cannot be blamed for temptation that arise from our own evil desires. Those are the desires that come forth from our heart. These are things such as lust, greed, selfishness. These are all desires that come from within us. These are not from external sources. The sources of temptation stem from the flesh and blood we inherited from Adam and Eve and from their fall into sin. These are temptations that are within each and every one of us, literally from the inside of us. Another illustration this morning. For years, scientists were puzzled about apples that had worms in them but had no breaks in the surface of the apple. How did they get inside when there did not appear to be any outward signs of entrance? What they discovered was that a certain worm lays its eggs right on the apple blossom in spring. And as the apple develops, it encases the egg right from the beginning. Later, when the apple nears its complete maturing process, so does the insect egg. It hatches and eats its way out from the inside. The seed of sin was literally ingrained in us through Adam and Eve. It was planted in us. Ever since then, it has been found in the heart of each and every human at birth, eating its way out in our thoughts and actions as we go. James makes it clear that sin finds expression from us even without Satan's help. Even before we are aware of Satan, even before we are aware of good and evil, we have evil expressing itself through our own actions. And that expression comes from within us. Honesty in acknowledging this fact can help us be alert to the process and help us to fight. How many of you know what the first step in winning a war is? The first step in winning a war is to recognize who your enemy is. If we don't know who we're fighting against, how can we fight? We are our own worst enemies. The devil doesn't make you do it. Listen to this. The devil does not make you do it. We do it because we want to. Sometimes that's a hard pill to swallow. We give in to sin and temptation, not because the devil makes us, but because we want to. First Corinthians 10, verse 13. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. From that text, we can see that temptation is a common experience among all people. It's common because we are all made of the same flesh and blood. And I think we can all agree with the statement that our flesh is weak. Our flesh is weak. It wants its own way. We would prefer pleasure instead of pain. Satisfaction instead of sacrifice. Diversion instead of devotion. Hobbies instead of holiness. One thing we need to understand is that no one, not a single one of us, is exempt from this inner pull to sin. Galatians 5, verse 24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature, that being the flesh, with its passions and desires. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Literally, that statement is like saying, crucify your old self. Put your old self to death, literally. I'm not saying, be careful. Be careful when you hear me on this. We're talking in a, what's the best way to say this? Our hearts, our spirit, our person, our old self, our actions, our thoughts are our old self. We need to put that old sinful self to death each day, to crucify that portion with its passions and desires. And that is a daily process for every single believer. At salvation, each and every one of us becomes a new creation in Christ Jesus, spiritually being made alive in Christ. However, we still have the same body and we still have the same impulses and desires. We need to learn to put our flesh to death and instead live in flesh that is submitted to God. We need to run away from sin. We need to run away from sin. There's this idea that we can go into a situation and help people in sin, which is true, but you need to be careful. Because if we're walking into a situation, let's say maybe you were saved and you were delivered from alcoholism. And that was a hard battle to fight, and you've been delivered from it. But now you see people sitting in pain in the bar that you want to help also. But the point is, we should not necessarily be running to the place that we struggled most to be trying to help other people, because we're easily enticed to get back into it ourselves. Does that make sense? That we shouldn't be putting ourselves in a position to be tempted. I'm not saying that somebody shouldn't be going there and ministering to these people, but if you know that you have a struggle, you should not be putting yourself in the midst of that struggle for the sake of others. Reading from 1 Corinthians 10:13 again, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful, he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. You don't have to try to overcome temptation in your own strength. God is with you. God is with you. If you are in a spot where you are recognizing temptation and you are beginning to see this choice coming in front of you, that you need to make a decision, pray. Because the scripture tells us that God will give us a way out of our temptation. He will give us a way to escape from under a temptation that we are not able to ourselves. His Spirit will empower you to say no to sin and yes to obedience. This is something that our minds have to be trained to do. The more that we stand up and live a righteous life, turning away from temptation and asking God to give us a way out of temptation, the easier it is to do that again the next time. The same goes for the opposite. The more we give in to temptation, the easier it is to continue to give in to temptation. And then we begin to self-justify why we did something. We need to remember that God will make a way of escape. That we should not look at temptation Those are the things that will entice you to sin. We know what our temptations are. Each and every one of us knows what our temptations are, what our hot buttons are, the things that will easily entice us. We know that. Then it's our choice to make sure we are not looking in directions of things that entice us. Instead, we need to look for God's exit. And we need to run as fast as we can through that exit when it shows itself. In our text in James chapter 1, 14 through 15, we see that James describes a three-stage process of how sin takes hold of us and destroys us. In verse 14 and 15, but each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. The three stages are desire, sin, and the third is death. The time to conquer your sin before its ugly consequences take hold is at the first stage. That is the time to conquer sin, at the stage of desire. That is where we ultimately have to make the choice. Every sin begins as a desire. The desire is the thought. How many of you know that you can be completely consumed by a thought? It's pretty amazing how a little thought will pop into your mind and it will take you all over the map. We can literally be consumed by a thought. The longer that we think about a desire, a thought, the more likely we will be to move forward towards fulfilling that desire. Every action begins with a thought. And before you take action and fall into sin, you need to break free from that thought. I know I've preached from this pulpit of taking your thoughts captive, of literally acting as the judge that God has created you to be over your own person and your own thoughts. And that is what that's what the scripture says when it says that you will have a renewed mind, be renewed in Christ. You need to break free from that thought, from that desire. Run away and think on things that are pure. See, at this stage, at the stage of desire, sin has not yet taken place. It has not yet expressed itself. But it's here where sin can be avoided by a carefully planned escape. Ultimately, you win battles in your mind. Overcome temptation by letting God renew you in your mind. A transformed mind produces a transformed life. We need to understand that God works from the inside out. Got another little illustration this morning. A senior pastor told his handsome new assistant pastor to avoid the dangers of immorality in the ministry. The assistant pastor, quite sure of himself, said, I'll do much of my socializing in groups. There is safety in numbers. Well, that's true. The wise senior pastor, however, responded, yes, there is safety in numbers, but there is more safety in Exodus. Run away from sin. It's kind of an interesting thought when you stop to process it. When improper desires strike, you need to take your eyes off of whatever it is that is creating the desire and turn your eyes back to Christ. I could tell you from experience that is a very, very effective way of dealing with temptation. Too often we sit and stare at temptation and try to, we overprocess, we try to intellectualize the event, thinking we are strong enough to get out of it ourselves. But the longer we look at it, the more the temptation level is going to increase. And if we're not looking at it, we might be able to get away from it. We need to avoid dwelling on the desire. Dwelling on a desire often enhances that desire. And if you nourish a desire, it will grow until it is birthed into existence. If you want a desire to die, you need to stop feeding it. That means you need to stop dwelling in it. You need to stop thinking about it. One little girl found a unique way to successfully overcome sinful desires in her heart. She applied a visual game that went like this. When Satan comes knocking at my heart's door, I send Jesus to answer the door. When Satan sees Jesus, he says, "Oops, I'm sorry. I must have the wrong house." It's an interesting thought from a child. Instead of dwelling on the desire, she turns it over to the Lord. I'll be wrapping up here shortly. Desire that is nurtured will give birth to sin. That's the second stage that James teaches in chapter 1. Sin is the second stage of the process of temptation. At this stage, tragedy results, evil is expressed, people are hurt, action that results in pain and loss occur. Sin is now out in the open. James tells us that it has been born for all to see. I need you to understand that even at this stage, even after a sin has been committed, we are able to recover. This is hope. We are able to recover. By repentance and confession, we can at least recover to start over again. We can recover to start over again. While it's true that repentance may bring forgiveness, sometimes the consequence of such sinful actions remain. On occasion, even for a lifetime. But at this point, God still offers an escape. We know that Jesus shed his blood on Calvary, and in doing so, he gave us the opportunity to be forgiven if we confess our sin and we acknowledge it. Recovering is assured to those who seek God. The scripture tells us that a renewal of heart and mind is promised. The final stage comes to those, however, who fail to escape in the earlier stages. At this final stage, there is no recovery possible. It is a great tragedy that needs to be avoided. The final stage that we see in James chapter 1 is death. Talking about eternal and spiritual death. If you notice in James chapter 1 and verse 12, when we're reading first where it's contrasted, where the crown of life is promised to those who endure temptation. Is the opposite when sin is fully matured, meaning its existence throughout one's lifetime without repentance. That's when sin is matured, is when we have gone through our life and not repented from the sins we have committed. It will bring forth spiritual death and ultimately hell. It really is a tragedy that many follow the three-stage process of temptation all the way through to its conclusion. Need to understand that at this final stage, if we reach that point, there is no hope. At that point, we are committed. We are We have made our decision. This is after the fact, meaning beyond life. But while there is still life, while there is still breath within us, there is still hope. There is still opportunity to turn away from our temptations, to begin to renew our minds and our thoughts and our ultimately our lives. We need to escape from temptation before we allow ourselves to reach the final stage. Remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, Paul is telling us that God will always make a way of escape for those who look for one. See, we don't have to sin. We don't have to give in to temptation. In conclusion this morning, the temptation to sin never comes from God. Don't allow that thought to come into your mind and try and justify something that has taken place in your life. Yes, God will take a mess that we've made and he will turn it into something good if we allow it. But that doesn't mean that God gave us that temptation to create the circumstance that turned out to be good in the first place. God is not a tease. The lure to sin comes from our fallen nature, our appetites. Though temptation is real, it's very real, we can resist the temptation to sin. God's promises to always make a way to escape that we saw in 1 Corinthians 10. And we are to endure outward trials as we saw in James 1. Verse 12, to resist inward temptation as we saw in James 13 or 1:13. And that success in resisting temptation brings a crown of life. But failure gives birth to death. We need to make sure that we are not so hard-hearted, that we are not so bitter or so stuck on our own person, our own thoughts, our own desires, our own pleasures, that we miss the escape that God gives us. We need to make sure that we keep our eyes focused on Jesus. And even through temptation, we can call out to God who will give us that escape that we need. Jesus is our escape route. I'm going to close in a word of prayer this morning. Maybe this morning you're beginning to think about some decisions that have been made, some thoughts that have become desire, that have become sin, some something that God is making you aware of that you need to turn from, that you need to repent from, that you need to ask forgiveness for. I don't know situations. I don't know where you're at, but I believe that God is calling some of us to account, that he is asking us to be accountable, that he's asking us to give our hearts back to him and to allow him to restore us and to renew our minds. I'm not going to ask anyone to come forward. I'm not going to ask anyone to raise their hand this morning. I'm going to ask you on your own to pray where you are at. If you need time in here by yourself after we close in prayer, whatever it is, take it. Spend some time with God this morning and ask for forgiveness. Ask him to open your eyes and your mind to see what needs to change within us. because he is faithful and he will restore. He will bring new life. He will renew our mind. He will make us whole. Let's pray this morning. Lord God, I thank you for who you are, that you are holy, that you are perfect, that you are love, that you are just. I thank you that you sent your son Jesus, that you sent him here to earth to take our punishment, to take our sin from us. Lord, I ask that you would open our hearts and our minds this morning to give you even the smallest thing that we are holding on to. That we would give up our sin, that we would repent and turn back to you, that we would be restored. We thank you, God, that you sent your Son and that his blood cleanses us. That his blood creates a new life within us. Gives us a new start. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would bring your wisdom, your power, your conviction on each and every one of us this morning. That you would begin to open our eyes and show us what needs to change within us to be made wholly yours. We praise your name, Jesus, for everything that you have done for us. We lift your name on high. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I would encourage you to stay. What time is the shower starting? Soon? Soon. If you would just keep, you can play some soft music or something. If anybody wants to stay in here and pray, you are welcome. We will try to keep it quiet this morning.